Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
And look, there's a long way to go in this game, but the bottom line is, through everything they have been through so far this year, they're 14 minutes and 7 seconds away from winning 6 of their first 9. Something a Redskin team has not done since the 2008 season. And it's intercepted. The rookie Stroman, his first career pick. And just like that, the Redskins are back in business.
Afternoon, live from Redskins Park on yet another Victory Monday, where the first place Skins are 6-3. We're Grant and Danny, and you're listening to The Fan and Greg Stroman. He just heard on Fox making his first interception as an NFL corner yesterday, is on the show with us. Big thanks to the Redskins PR staff for bringing him by. Greg, you didn't even smile when you heard that pick. That must have been hard to do. That's number one right there. Walk us through the play and give us some thoughts on what it feels like to have intercepted a pass in an NFL game.
Oh, man, it felt great. It felt great. It's almost... I'm almost speechless still, but, I mean, it was definitely a play-to-play, and Coach told me just to go get it, and we knew it was coming, and Ha-Ha had me over the top, so I just let it all go and go make a play, go catch the ball.
Is that route right there... D'Angelo Hall recently called it on our show. He called it
a bang route,
which is like a skinny post kind of deal. Mm-hmm. They ran that 800 times.
Mm-hmm.
And Danny Johnson was given a huge cushion. They kind of cut underneath of him a couple times. Did you see that when you were not playing and say, not on my watch, or was there a different look? Like, what did you go to look for?
They gave it out of a couple different looks. Definitely, once we got it a couple times, Coach was just like, when you get this look, just go get it. From we changed our leverage and we played the play.
How much of that, too, is communication, whether it's on the sideline, pre-snap, etc., seeing what they're doing to you and being able to say, hey, when you see this next time, just go for it. Don't worry about it if something gets behind you. How much of that gave you the confidence to be able to jump that route and do that?
Oh, definitely. Just trust factor. Trust in Ha-Ha. He had me over the top. And he's saying, go get it. I'm gonna go get it. He got me over the top. I'm going to go get it.
Talking to DJ Swearinger earlier, Greg, takes a lot of discipline for a defense to play the way you guys did. You don't like allowing an inch, let alone 500 yards. But you kept everything in front of you kind of throughout the game. Was there a temptation maybe sometimes after a couple first downs? They got almost 30 first downs to go, screw it, I'm jumping the next thing. Or I'm trying to take something away. I'm sick of this, death by paper cut thing. It takes a lot of discipline, a lot of veteran savvy to play the way you guys did, I think.
I think so. I mean, definitely just keep playing, play after play. I mean, just don't give up the big play, and definitely just keep playing, play after play. And it gets tough in the red zone, so. That's what just keep playing and force turnovers.
I remember talking to you in the locker room after the Cowboys game, and you thought it was kind of a big, I don't know if turning point would be the right word, but you kind of felt like it was a good moment for you because you had a couple plays you wanted back, but then you responded really well, and you said it was cool to see how my teammates picked me up, and you thought whether it was Swearinger or some of the veterans, that they really helped you feel comfortable, like, this happens, this is the league.
Right.
Curious about that group and just how much they've helped you improve, as well as your coach who you knew from college, Torian Gray, and just where you are now compared to 5 weeks ago when you got thrown into the fire for the first time.
Yeah, I mean, it's just about building trust, and I trust in those guys that they got me. They're going to have my back regardless of what happens, so definitely having that and just... I mean, having those guys rally around you and just help you learn and just learn little things, how to watch film and what to see, and definitely in-game adjustments. That's definitely huge, too. And just having the trust to do things like jump around like that and know that somebody has you over the top.
Greg Stroman with us here. First NFL interception yesterday in a huge win for the Redskins to go to 6-3. How much more comfortable are you now than, say, September 9th when you guys opened up? Like, how much more secure in your placement, your feet, your hands, everything about your game? How much better do you feel now than you do, say, just a couple months ago?
I mean, I feel better. Definitely getting reps, in-game reps, it definitely helps. I mean, just the more reps I can get, the better I get.
Swearinger, Danny mentioned, was on the show just a little bit ago, and if you guys missed that, you should go to thefandc.com and listen. We're talking to Greg Stroman right now. But one of the things Swearinger told us was he sent out a text last week after the Falcons game. He said, hey, if you guys want to come watch film with me, I'm at my house. Come on by. Mm-hmm. And he said you and Danny Johnson, a couple of the young guys, mm-hmm. as well as Clinton Dix came over. What did you get out of that experience? I mean, he kind of took us through some of the specifics of it, but what did it do for you to watch with those guys?
Oh, I mean, it just helped see the bigger picture. I mean, you got more eyes looking at it together and guys just kind of talking through things and talking through coverages and just seeing things. And it definitely helped out a lot. Just learning how other people watch film definitely helped out.
Is that a big adjustment coming from, I mean, you're from a really good college program, obviously, mm-hmm. Virginia Tech. You guys know what you're about, especially on the defensive side. Is that an adjustment that people don't maybe realize is what you get out of film sessions and learning how to study, basically? I remember that was a jump for me going from as a high school student to a college student. I didn't really know how to study, and that was something you were just left up to your own. Is that a big adjustment, you think, going from college to pros?
Yeah, I think it's an adjustment. I feel like offenses at the college level are a little more simple. So I think that's definitely an adjustment. You have to see more and know more at this level.
Our guest is Greg Stroman on Grant and Danny. Am I remembering correctly? This is top of my head, but there was a play earlier than your interception. I think it was you. It was like a Fitzpatrick deep ball thrown up for grabs, and mm-hmm. I thought maybe it was you, but it was like broken up by Mike Evans or someone deep down the field. Do you remember the play I'm talking about?
Yeah, it was after the interception. It was a double move deep down the field to
Yeah. I mean, it looked like it was going to be another pick, if not for like an OPI or a pass breakup on their part.
Yeah, definitely felt like that's what it was, OPI, but I mean, I couldn't get up and go get it, but I should have.
Was it Evans? Am I remembering that correctly?
No, it was D-Jack.
Okay, it was Jackson. Yeah. But do you remember that play? He could have had two in one game. Because that was like Fitzpatrick just Fitzpatricking. He was just like, there's two guys out there. One of them will come down with it. He just launches the ball 55 yards in the air.
If it doesn't go well, it's a punt. Let's see. Whee!
Let's see what happens. Could have been a two-interception game. Man. Now you guys got to buckle down again and get ready for the Houston Texans. This is, at least in terms of record, the best team left on your schedule. How does the week work for you now? What is today? What are you doing? And then when do you start turning your attention to the Texans?
Today, we'll turn our attention to the Texans. We'll watch the film and get our corrections and learn from mistakes and just get better and get ready for the Texans.
Different style of receiver, too. I mean, obviously, Mike Evans is just a big giant. Looks mm-hmm. like a tight end in a receiver's body. He's huge. A couple of those guys coming to town this week, though. Demaryius Thomas is huge, and you know, DeAndre Hopkins is tall and long. Mm-hmm. Different challenges. What do those guys bring?
I mean, they bring a lot. I mean, you see it week in and week out. I mean, those guys are good. And as long as we do what we're supposed to do, then we'll be all right.
Greg, I probably shouldn't bring this up because you were very kind to come by and we're happy to have you here. But you're wearing a Virginia Tech hoodie, and I'm a Hokies fan myself. Coming off the 30-point loss. I mean, have you kept in touch with any of your guys back there and try to keep their heads up?
Or did
up?
You lose some phone numbers?
No.
You're embarrassing me.
No, never that. Never that. Those are my brothers. But I've talked to a couple of them. Ricky Walker, I mean, he's just – They're trying to get it together. We'll be all right, though.
Miami, it's weird because Miami's not very good, and Tech's having a down mm-hmm. year. But I'm still kind of excited for the game because it's Miami, Virginia Tech.
Yeah, we're going to play ball.
And you go to Lane Stadium and you watch Miami. You can't do a whole lot better than that. But mm-hmm. Virginia right around the corner. Congrats, man. Very, very cool to get that first interception and a really strong performance for you against an elite offense. Great receiving core.
Appreciate it.
You should be proud of yourself.
Great job, buddy.
Thank you.
Greg Stroman of the Redskins. What a performance for that defense. Four takeaways for the first time since Christmas Eve 2016 against the Bears. Grant and Danny on a victory Monday in Ashburn at Redskins Park. Danny, after a Redskins win in Tampa Bay over the Bucks on 106-7, the Fan. I love Raymond James Stadium, by the way. It's just a good-looking stadium on TV.
A little amusement park feel to it.
Yeah, I've been there, I guess, to see maybe four or five games because the Redskins played there in the preseason a couple times when I was on the beat. One of my worst moments of my sports life came at that stadium, though. 1999.
Why would it happen?
Am I 11 yet or am I still 10? I believe I'm 10 at the time. I am with Channel 9 out of Washington, air quotes here, covering the Redskins playoff game in Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
That was the game where the Skins got a kick return for a touchdown from Brian Mitchell to lead 13-0.
It's the only offense.
Over the Sean King-led Tampa Bay Bucks. And by the way, the Bucks defense then was, it was the group that would go on to become a Super Bowl champion.
Oh, it was excellent.
It was masterful, right? The Redskins offense that year under Norv Turner finished number two in yardage. It was the second best offense in the league. Steven Davis rushed for 1,400 yards.
Brad Johnson, centers had a million catches.
70-plus catches. Brad Johnson threw for 4,000 yards. You had two 1,000-yard receivers in Westbrook and Connell. And on that day, none of that mattered at all because they couldn't move the ball. So they were up 13-0. Going into the late second half, and there was a bad long pass interference on Leamon Evans. And long story short, the Bucks come back. They take a 14-13 lead. The Redskins are moving now with Brad Johnson at the controls, and they line up for what was a very makeable Brett Conway game-winning field goal. And the late Dan Turk, bad snap. His brother Matt's the punter. Can't get it down, so I think it was Brad Johnson may have even been the holder, as I remember correctly.
Brad Johnson was the holder.
And he kind of scrambled around and just threw the ball up for grabs. I remember just wanting to cry all the way home because I thought at that time, oh, this team's going to win the Super Bowl. This is how it works. Now, I've been a fan of them for 5 years, and they haven't won yet, and now's their turn. I didn't know that not only was that not a Super Bowl year, but that was probably as good as it was going to get until now.
That's right.
For a long, long, long time. But that was at Raymond James Stadium, and still I like that venue. One of the coolest experiences I had there was when Robert Griffin led a drive down the field in his rookie year in 2012.
Well, that St. Louis Rams team that went on to win the Super Bowl in 99, okay, that was the number one offense. The Redskins were number two behind the greatest show on turf with just Hall of Famers everywhere all around that St. Louis Rams team. They beat Tampa in the conference title game 11-6. You want to talk about how good that Tampa defense was at that stage? The greatest show on turf and the Redskins, the number one, number two offenses. Over two games, they held them to 24 points total.
This is the weirdest memory I think you can ever pull, and this will make sense and will matter to no one. But so for every game since that year, by the way, I have notebooks all over my house where I chart every Redskins play. And I go, you know, on the left side of the column, I go first and 10 from the yard marker. And I just, with player initials, write what the play is. And the only reason I do it, it's how long the gain is. It's down and distance. A, it keeps me engaged in the game. But B, most importantly, it kind of just gives me a reference when I look back on, okay, that was that play. So
sure,
happened,
yeah.
After.
Easy to remember.
What I remember about that game was that it was the cleanest. Think about like a clean score sheet in baseball.
Uh-huh.
So it's like three batters up, three batters out, three batters up. And it's just like a staircase. That was the football version of that. It was just first down, second down, third down punt for both teams. And I went through like only three sheets of paper on 10 drives because it was just four lines at a time. There were no 8, 9, 10 play drives. It was just so much defense.
And that Redskins defense that year, by the way, was terrible. They were not good.
They were not.
They were towards the bottom of the league in every category, including points allowed, yards allowed, all those things. And they look like the 85 Bears against that Tampa offense. So much more Mike Allstott than you'd want to remember.
Of course, he would go on to score a big touchdown to hurt the Redskins.
Yeah, that was pretty much it.
Many years later, but that doesn't matter as much. The 12 o'clock hour, we got to spend a little bit of time here on how much the Redskins missed their injured players. I want to tackle this with you, Danny, because we both basically said this was mission very unlikely. I don't want to call it mission impossible, but you didn't have Trent Williams at left tackle. Ty Nsekhe has proven time and time again that he is a capable and a competent fill-in at that position.
Yeah, you can be okay.
For whatever reason, at right tackle, and someone smarter than me, Chris Cooley or someone else will have to describe why Ty Nsekhe is a bad right tackle and a good left tackle, but that is how he's played over the last few seasons. There's enough sample size to know that at this point. But on the left side, he is very comfortable and he is very adequate. He was solid. At running back out of the backfield, Capri Bibbs is a decent little poor man's Chris Thompson. He will not give you necessarily what Thompson would at 100%, but Thompson this year has given you that one time in week one. He has not been Chris Thompson of a year ago since the first week of the season.
That's who they missed the most, I think, on offense. Because there's no, even with Richardson healthy, it's still once every four or five games you're even going to take a shot in his general direction. And he might come down with something. Maybe it's a PI. Maybe it's an underthrown ball that he makes a great play on against the Giants. But to me, the guy they missed down in and down out based on how their offense works, a great matchup is a healthy Chris Thompson on almost anybody. Some of those choice routes, that arrow route, just things coming out of the backfield, leaking out after he passed pros and everybody kind of forgets about him. Turning nothing into something, that's what he's special. That's what can keep drives going. Not having that has just changed the dynamic of this group.
I am a Jamison Crowder fan. I love the guy. I'd extend him. I'd keep him around depending on the money that it would cost. I think he's a weapon in the slot. However, the idea that he's going to get back and all of a sudden just start putting up crazy numbers is completely ill-advised and wrong. He was here and wasn't utilized, really. Yep. Just like Jordan Reed is here and not that utilized. So I don't know that, honestly, missing him is that big of a loss as people think. Yes, he provides a dimension that they don't have enough of, with some wiggle and some open field elusiveness. Maurice Harris doesn't give you that. But Mo Harris has done as much or more statistically in that role as Jamison Crowder was doing before he went down. Maybe Crowder can provide something, though, that they need after the catch.
Well, yeah, what you don't get is when it's the little wide receiver screen to Mo Harris. That's not who he is. He's not elusive Ernie. He's not going to do what Jamison Crowder has done so many times in his career, take a ball and turn it into a 15-yard gain, treating it like a punt return. That's not his strength.
And in fairness, Crowder in a month of football didn't
hasn't
do that
done
this
that either.
Year either. But you're right. He has that club in the bag, and Maurice Harris does not. What I want to hit on, though, next, and we can get some calls on this with you guys at 800-636-1067. What about the interior of the offensive line? How did you feel like they fared? Jonathan Cooper at left guard, Chase Roullier at center, and Tony Bergstrom, a journeyman who was playing right guard. You know, Mike Shanahan, I remember one time I was sitting in his office talking about offensive line play. Mm-hmm. And he point-blanked me, and you can either say that he's right or wrong or whatever. The guy knows a lot about running the football and has built some really good lines in his day. And he literally said to me, well, yeah, the guard position's just not that important. That's what he said. And I said, well, it's, you know, there's a lot of guards getting paid a lot of money. Now, you look at his offensive lines, and he had, like, Will Montgomery moved over from center and Corey Lichtensteiger.
Corey Lichtensteiger, no matter what he was doing or how he was doing it, he would get a call from Mike Shanahan.
He was out of football the year Shanahan was. He's right back in football. But he just didn't think that the guard position in the grand scheme of building an offense was all that critical. That's not to say you can get bad guard play, but you just basically need a schematic fit. In other words, someone looks at your team and they go, oh, you got bad guards. No, I got guards that fit my offense. That's what I need. My point going into last week was, if they lose to the Bucs, it's not going to be because their guards weren't good enough. I refuse to believe that. What did you think of how their O-line held up? Three sacks of Alex Smith. I thought one of those he could have avoided pretty easily. But only three sacks, it's not a big deal.
Not
a
ton of pressure. It's not like he was hit a ton,
No. And he helped them a lot by getting the ball out quickly, obviously, as well on some plays. But we'll tackle that next. 800-636-1067. In the 1 o'clock hour, do not forget about some of the things that aren't getting mentioned from yesterday's win that deserve some shine. We're Grant and Danny. We will take your calls again, first time in a little over an hour, from Redskins Park on a Victory Monday.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from Redskins Park, home of the 6-3 first place Skins, we're Grant and Danny on a Victory Monday. If you've missed DJ Swearinger, Clinton Portis, Greg Stroman, you got to go to thefandc.com. Swearinger outstanding in talking about a meeting he called at his house with a bunch of the DBs. Greg Stroman went. Danny Johnson went. Clinton Dix was there. It sounded like he did not mention Josh Norman being there, which I found interesting. Now, I'm not going to make a big deal about that because he could have been doing anything. He could have been out of town. It could have been a night where he wasn't around. But most of the DBs were there, which I guess should be what we take out of it.
Yeah, it's like rookies and the new guy who's been here for a week needed a crash course, and they got it.
He said he sent the text to all of his teammates in the secondary and said, hey, whoever wants to come watch film with us, come to my house. Let's be great, basically.
Which is cool.
And most of the guys came. But the Redskins were without a left tackle, a left guard, a right guard. Had their left tackle go down and their right tackle go down at different times during the game, but continue to play. No third down back, no slot receiver, and no outside speed option with Paul Richardson. I would say no problem, but it was still a problem.
Still a problem, yeah.
Offensively, they didn't do much, but no problem on the scoreboard where they won again, and they're now 6-3. What'd you guys think specifically of the offensive line being patchworked? Great job by Bill Callahan getting those guys ready, and of the fill-ins with all the injuries. Let's go to Josh, who's in D.C. on Grant and Danny. What's up, Josh?
Hey, Josh.
Yeah, so obviously the O-line is a huge issue, although, you know, the replacements did a good job. It just means that we're not getting that push on first down without Trent there. It's, you know, trickling down to third and long, which is a problem, and, you know, it just kind of impacts the rest of the game. But got one more missing person, not to be all esoteric and weird, but, I mean, I really do believe it. I don't think we're spending even enough time of it. I'm missing the Alex Smith we were promised versus this guy we have out there right now. I know it's not an injury, but there was nothing like what we were predicting before the season. There's no touch on the ball. There's no accuracy. There's no consistency. We're winning in spite of this guy, not because of him. And I know it's Victory Monday. I'm super happy. But something has got to wake up there. It might as well be injured because he's just not showing up for us. But the O-line, and then I'm missing the Alex Smith we were promised.
Well, your point's correct. I don't know that today's the day for it. I mean, we really haven't covered Smith much at all because he just wasn't much of a positive or negative factor. Here is, I think, what needs to be said. If he was turning the football over, they'd be losing more games. And he's not, and that's part of why they're 6-3, so you give him that credit. They're not getting enough out of the quarterback position, but yesterday he did nothing really to hurt them. You can make the case other than not turning the ball over, he didn't do a lot to help them either. But it's a pick your battles thing. There's going to be enough weeks where I think that conversation needs to be had. And frankly, maybe it's tomorrow. Maybe it's Wednesday. Maybe it's Thursday as we say, how do you beat the Texans? Where you, at some point, throwing for 178 and not taking any chances probably isn't good enough. This week, it was good enough.
Yeah, I mean, if you have last year's defense, you're, what, 2-7 at this point? But they don't. They got this year's defense. They got the defense they thought they had last year going into the season. The defense that showed up against Oakland.
By the way, the only difference different. There's two differences between this year's defense and last year's defense. The first is health.
Second is Deron Payne.
And the second is Deron Payne. Pretty much it's the exact same group.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a couple of guys like Greg Stroman made a play yesterday, which was very nice and has done something, seventh round pick. But for the most part, you added Deron Payne and guys like Matt Ioannidis, who's awesome, John Allen, who's awesome, and in your secondary, some of your top players have not gotten hurt.
Kendall Fuller was great last year, and you had Breshad Breeland. You replaced those guys. The point is, it's largely the same core, and now they're healthy, knock on wood, through this many games. If you had last year's defense, this 178-1 would be a disaster against the two worst defenses this sport has to offer. But it's not. It's plenty good enough here these last couple weeks. So it fits their personality this year. I got no problem with it.
Now, I will say, if we want to have discussions about bigger picture, you know, can you win playoff games? Can you beat really good teams with this offense and this quarterback playing this way, then it's a different answer. But it's November 12th. We're not talking about that right
Absolutely.
Now.
We're talking about how do you get to the first finish line of the first race, which is to win the division. You're two games clear as the rest of the division cannibalizes itself in disgusting fashion. They're terrible. Everyone else in this division is terrible. All you have to be is less terrible.
Here's what I'm concerned about.
Different division,
right,
you got to be good. Yeah.
How do I get to 10 wins? How do I win the NFC East? When I wrap up those two things, I'm going to start to think bigger picture about the other stuff. And in the meantime, if you want to have some conversations along the way, like, hey, will this work in the playoffs? It's a pretty quick conversation. No, not very long. Maybe you could steal a game. Maybe you get lucky and steal two games. If you do that, by the way, you've had more success than any Redskins team since I was a baby. So I will take the eventual loss that comes because it was a massively successful season. Let's go to Vaughn in Alexandria. Vaughn, you're on G&D.
Hey, Vaughn.
Morning, gentlemen. Yeah, I want to give some credit, and I hope a lot of people paid attention to this. This is the first game that Jay actually changed his offense enough to fit the offensive line. He knows that those guys just got there, so you notice that Alex was getting out of the pocket. You notice a tight end screen to Jordan Reed. You notice the slants to Jordan Reed. You notice the screen that he hasn't run enough. I think that the offensive line, besides a few bogus calls, I think Jay really helped the offensive line by throwing quick plays and getting them guys accustomed and getting a game rhythm. And as you see the game went on, you see offense kind of flowed a little bit. It's not what we wanted, but we got to look at the positive that we see some momentum going forward, that we see some type of rhythm. And I think Jay changing the scheme is part to that. So, yeah, I wanted to give some credit to Jay.
Vaughn, he deserves a lot of credit.
I actually agree with that.
Not just for play calling and quick game and helping his O-line. This coaching staff, in a week where the roster was in shambles, where you're starting a guy who's been a part of your operation for less than 72 hours, him, Callahan, Kavanaugh, go down the line, the adjustments defensively against a similar team that torched you 1 week earlier by Minuski and Gray and those staffs as well. This coaching staff far outcoached Tampa Bay.
Well, look at the play-by-play, okay? What do the Redskins typically do? Look at their second half. So they've scored 0 points or a field goal or 6 points or whatever. Look at the second half against Green Bay, against Arizona, offenses throughout the game against the Colts, whatever you want to call it. It's, let's line up and run on first down, man, and you get squat, and then you're in a bad spot. They mixed it up. You have to go against type at times, especially when everybody thinks they know what you're doing. You've got to be able to counterpunch. Now, I'm not talking about effective plays. That's a pipe dream at this point for this offense, eating up chunk yards and going down the football field and being dynamic. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen anytime soon. Jerry Rice ain't walking through that door. DeSean Jackson's not walking through that door. This is their group. But just in terms of getting guys open, just in terms of design, in terms of making defenses uncomfortable, some of that play action on first down, some of those boots on first down, some of those quick passes on first down, then you get back to who you are. Everyone knows what you want to do. You want to hand off to Peterson 25 times and have him be breathing heavy. In order to get there, you've got to get more plays. And they were able to convert, get some first down, some good chunk plays, 5, 6, 7 yards on first down via the pass game, especially in the second half, where they magically scored 10 points. I know 10 points ain't a lot.
10 points is massive.
It's a possession and a half for the Saints. But for this group, a 10-point second half is worth spin kicks.
10 points in the second half, this offense was a juggernaut after halftime. Now, forget that 3 of those points came after they got the ball back in the red zone on a 4-play, 16-yard drive where they lost 10 yards. Don't think about that.
No.
They scored 3 points.
That'll bog you down, you'll get upset.
Those 3 points you can give to Greg Stroman, right? The touchdown drive was a 47-yard drive, in fact. 8 plays and 47 yards. I think they had a 15-yard penalty in there somewhere that helped them out. Don't worry about that. Doesn't matter that they only got 47 yards on that drive. They scored a touchdown. 10 points, they couldn't be stopped. They were on fire.
What a juggernaut.
They were the Rams from 1999. They were Tyreek Hill and the Kansas City Chiefs. Kevin, Alexandria, line 4, you're on Grant and Danny. How's
Kevin
it going?
Hey, it's Kevin in Arlington, but that's okay. I think you guys are being a little too dismissive of Alex. Just hear me out. Reed dropped 2 very easy balls. Toy dropped the ball. He had 2 hands on.
Floyd's drop was several, a bad drop.
Hey, Grant, Floyd's, there were several penalties that put us in 3rd and long that Alex had nothing to do with. There was the big play to Bibbs we didn't get.
Yep,
some people on social media saying Vernon Davis didn't run a good route on that play. I mean,
well, I don't care about those.
He's not great, but he was solid yesterday. I don't understand the dismissiveness
of his
play
again?
Yesterday.
What's your name again?
I'm Kevin.
Kevin,
I'm
thank Kevin. You. Kevin, have you listened to the entire show today?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
But I just,
you're
guys
saying
just
we're
like
being too hard on Alex Smith.
The offense.
We haven't said a negative word about Alex Smith. He threw 178 yards and a touchdown, and we're acting like he was Peyton Manning yesterday. We're happy with the performance.
I was not acting like that at all. I am.
Danny is. We're very pleased with his performance. We expect nothing. We've moved the goalposts now that if he just doesn't turn the ball over and they win, we're very happy. What do you want us to say about him?
I don't want you to say anything more. I guess what I'm seeing all over social media and everywhere in these discussions is how bad Smith still is. And I'm like,
okay,
he wasn't
you gotta tweet
bad
at those
yesterday.
People, Kevin. Thank you very much for the call. Here's what we've done yesterday. We've praised the defense. We have discussed the fact that they won a very important game. We've given Smith credit for not turning the ball over. We have said nothing negative about his performance. And I'm not going to because I want to avoid phone calls like this where people defend him when they shouldn't be so that we can actually accomplish other things. But what I can't have is people now calling in and saying when we acknowledge that they scored 10 points in the second half and that's not a lot, Well, you got to be nicer to Alex Smith. No. We've moved the goalposts enough for Alex Smith.
Enough, by the way.
We spent the entire show doing nothing but pretending like he had a good game.
You think
so
the rest of the league
okay
that had a 104 quarterback rating this week, where there were 40 touchdown passes thrown, you think none of those guys had any drops in their games? The Redskins score 16 points a game over their last month plus. That's not good enough, ultimately, to get to where you want to go. It's been good enough because this defense has been unbelievable, save a couple bad hiccups. But at a certain point, this offense, which includes Smith, it's not only him, but it includes him, has to find a way to maybe, I don't know, score 23 points or 27 points or do something more than put up 16.
And I don't know what to tell you about the people that you're mad at on social media, but we can't help you there. Again, I'm doing everything in my power. I've moved the goalposts now from the back of the end zone to about the 30-yard line with Alex Smith. So you're going to hear a lot more rosy Alex Smith commentary after wins from me, because I'm just going to pretend like he played better than he did so that you guys are all happy. But I can't have you calling in and saying we're being mean to Alex Smith when we're now pretending like he's playing better than he is. Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. Grant and Danny on The Fan at 1 o'clock in 10 minutes. Chris Russell will be on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. He hosts our post-game show last night. Want to get the temperature of the fan base right after the game from him, get some of his thoughts and analysis on what he saw in yesterday's game. It's been an awesome show already. DJ Swearinger, Clinton Portis, Greg Stroman have all joined us. All those interviews will be podcasted and available for you on thefandc.com and on Grant and Danny. com/audio. Bob's in Michigan wants to hop in on how the Redskins fared without some of their top offensive players, finding a way to win on the road despite a beleaguered offensive line. What's up, Bob?
Grant and Danny, how are you doing today?
Good, buddy. 6-3 in first place, man.
Thanks for the call.
Yeah, and I tell you what, not as bad as what's going up here with the Lions. They're about to kick Stafford out of town.
Yeah, I can't believe that, by the way. I was listening to a Detroit radio show a couple times last week. They hate Matt Stafford. They want him gone.
I tell you what, I wouldn't mind him with a Redskin uniform next year. I'll tell you that.
I'll make that
trade. I love Stafford. When you get sacked 10 times a game 2 weeks ago, and I think 6 times yesterday, it's more than the quarterback, but they want to blame Stafford for everything up here. But let's get to the Redskins. I'm going to tell you right now, we are not going to go anywhere, and I've been out of the area for 30 years, went to Good Counsel High School, but we are not going to go anywhere with Alex Smith throwing 170 yards a game. We need to make a change at QB. We will get eaten up by Chicago if we make the playoffs. We'll get eaten up by the Rams. It's not a league of 170 yards passing these days. We got to put McCoy in and give him a shot. We are just not going to make it. And we need a pass rusher. We need to get more pressure on the quarterback. I mean, you're letting up 500 yards and you get away with 3 points. You had a lucky day. I'm sorry, but that's the way it is.
Well, it was a lucky day, Bob, but it was an earned luck. Thank you for the call, buddy. I mean, 4 takeaways is not luck. Ryan Anderson's forced fumble was not luck. Greg Stroman's interception was not luck. Josh Norman's catch on the goal line was not luck. Now, Preston Smith beating a tackle was not luck.
Missing 2 field goals is luck. Mike Evans dropping a pass in the end zone is luck.
Yeah, there's breaks there for sure.
But here's the point. That happens all the time. Tampa screws up constantly. They still score 30 points a game. You need to give the Redskins, if you're going to say it's luck, and that's your prerogative, you also need to give the Redskins credit for taking advantage of those opportunities. How many teams are, quote, lucky and the ball bounces off someone's hands, or Josh Norman doesn't come down with that incredibly athletic interception on an overthrow that just harmlessly bounces into the end zone, and you know the next play is a touchdown. They made enormous plays in this game on defense, and they deserved probably to hold Tampa Bay to 9 points. You know what? That's still remarkable. That's still excellent. You hold them to 16, 17 of what they could have scored. That's still great for a group that goes up and down the field and is a top 5 passing offense in the National Football League. To dismiss it as luck is something I would disagree with. There was luck involved, absolutely, but you got to give them credit for making the plays they did.
Yeah, the Bucs give a lot of teams those types of chances. Lucky, fortuitous breaks, I suppose, based on things that they do, operator error. You still don't hold them to 3 points. You know, the Redskins did a lot well. As far as the Alex Smith thing, I'm just going to continue to go back to the well on. They don't win as many games. Their record is not as good. As a football team, they are a worse overall version of themselves if Colt McCoy is the quarterback. I believe that.
The way this team is now, I can't make a change.
Yes.
I understand his point. If the Redskins had a worse defense, I'd say we got a gunsling to try to stay.
Here's
we
got
to go back to Grossman, that style, right?
If the Redskins defense playing right now like last year's Redskins defense, okay, and let's say they were, I think if they were playing like last year's defense, they'd be probably 2-7 or 3-6. But let's say they're 4-5 and they're the 27th defense in the league and they're not doing a lot well on that side of the ball. Then going to Colt McCoy, to me, wouldn't be the biggest, craziest thing in the world that all these people are speculating. To say it now, not because of their record, but because of the style of this team. They have built something that works. They do not turn it over. 7 giveaways, least in football, plus 11 margin, best in football
by
3.
That's why they're where they are.
This is how they've gotten here. So to go away from Alex Smith, who is teaching the class on how not to turn it over and quote-unquote win ugly, and yes, they are winning in spite of him. I understand that. But if you're turning it over 2 times a game where they haven't, you're losing more games. And that's what would happen, I think, if you make a change. At what cost? To get more yards, to get more points? Those things are helpful. But again, as you said, it's based on this group, this team. I could find you 6 teams in the league where they'd be better off starting Colt McCoy probably.
Where it would make sense, yeah.
You'd have more of a chance to win every week. This is not one of them.
Not the way they are. Not the way they are right now. Now, again, if things happen and this defense gets a lot worse, 67% of the time they've won a certain way. I'll take that percentage. Now, if it was 50-50, I'd say, yeah, let's see if we can do better. Right now, the devil you know is the one you should be dealing with. I mean, and just in terms of Smith and a lack of production on offense. This offense is not going anywhere. I don't want Colt McCoy throwing. They're not 50-50 balls, by the way. They're 30-70 balls that he's going to throw. I have no interest in the sack fumbles and him playing hero ball and diving for a first down in the middle of the first quarter and hurting himself again. No thank you. He's great where he is in the meeting room.
And yesterday, by the way, yesterday was not a game I don't think you come out of and you talk about a quarterback change anyway.
No way.
Smith played well enough. The touchdown pass to Josh Doctson was a really good play. Did they make great plays? Did they make huge throws? No. But that game, you don't come out of that and go, man, this quarterback, you're not going anywhere with him. I think you say, I'd like more. I'd like you to do a little bit more, but you can't come out of that game and tell me you want to bench a guy. He didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah, if they're 5-7, which I thought that would be, by the way, losing 5 straight, and their offense can't do anything against the 2 worst defenses in the sport, I'd go, screw it. Let's go with old Colt and let Colt play high school football, West Texas. Woo!
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Chris Russell kicks off the last hour of the show in the 1 o'clock hour. Do not forget about our favorite Victory Monday game on the show where we take your calls on things that haven't been mentioned that people shouldn't forget about the winning cause. We're Grant and Danny on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.